Okay, shalom to all. Okay, there were like two people who came to me at the end of Shir last week with questions, and they said, oh, that's a very good question, and we should start the Shir next week with that. So, if you remember who you are, you're one. There was someone else? Okay, whatever. What was the question? What? So,
in a case where the apartment building is owned by a goy, but every person who lives in the apartment building is Jewish, like very close to 475 where the Rav lives, the vestibule would, anyone have a mitzvah to put a mitzvah there?
Oh, yeah, right, so that was the question. Right, in other words, I remember when I first got married and lived in 475 West 26th Street, so the building was owned by non-Jews. So the big nafkamina was that we didn't have a tree in the lobby on a certain part of the year. There was no tree in the lobby. So the only question was that what about the chiyuv mezuzah? So what was the story with the chiyuv mezuzah? Because now it was owned while you bought those buildings. And now, Mr. Ruby Schroen, he owns the building now. So it's also Yisrael. So the question is, should there be a chiyuv? Now, the individuals in the building have obviously mezuzahs on their doors of their apartments. But the question is, should there be a mezuzah on the front door or not? So that's the shaila. So I remember, 1 year was on Purim. So on Purim, Rabbi Goldwacht has a lot of masibas in his house on Purim at night and the day, and then they get together at night and then they sing and then they go as a group to the masiba. So 1 year, and as he was going, they decided to stop by the front door and put on a mezuzah on the front door. And then, like a week or two later, it was gone. Then somehow it ended up in the mail room or something like that. So the question is, what is the ikar halacha for this thing? Oh, so there is a Rashi in Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph, that speaks about the city, an ear, shara ear. It says, "Ksaftim al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha." So visharecha, the Gemara darshins that the shara ear requires a mezuzah. So, if you have a city, a walled-in city, that has, you know, obviously entrances into the walled city, and it has a mezuzah and a mashkof. So then the Gemara says you have to put up a mezuzah in a walled city on the shar ha'ir. There can be more than one shar ha'ir. Right? There can be multiple places to go in. So you have to put a mezuzah. So Rashi in Yuma, and I think Daf Yud Aleph says, but Rov Yisrael. So that's what I thought originally when YU originally bought the buildings from non-Jewish owners. I said, our building, 475, is Rov Yisrael. So we should put on the mezuzah. And but you know how bureaucracy works. Is, you know, you should tell them put it on, but then it takes time till they, you know, put in the order, put in this. You know, it didn't happen, you know, and it didn't happen really until Rabbi Goldwacht did that thing in Purim, and that lasted maybe a day or two or something like that, and then it was already gone. So this was the I'm talking about 475 West 186th Street, where there's a chiyuv mezuzah on the front door. 475. Yeah, so I told the story already with Rabbi Goldbach. That story was told. And now we're getting to the halachic discussion of the story. So, so I thought, according to the question is like this: there is a machlokas rishonim, and the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch is if you have a Jew and a non-Jew own something together, b'shutfus. So zachayv mezuzah or not. So Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it's potter. B'shutfus akum, the akum is potter. So what's the pshat? So the Or Sameach explains, Rav Shechter likes to say it over, the Or Sameach explains that there's a difference between a shut of Akum and the case of a walled city. Because a shut of Akum means that the Jew and the Goy own this house, b'shutfus. So then the fact that the Goy also owns the house takes away the chi of mezuzah. Right? But the word in the city is that this Shara'ir, what do we label it? In other words, no one's living in the street, per se. It's just leaning up to the homes in the city. So then you don't need the din of everybody. If one guy would be there, you mean to say it would be potter? So Orson Meir says no, because it's a din in how do you touch up the Shara'ir? Is it an ear shel Yisrael or is it an ear shel Akum? See, when it's a house itself, with Don on the house itself, then since the guy owns the house itself, he's a part owner, that's going to potter. But here, it's a question of the Shara'ir, which is leading to the what? To the different homes. So it's not the Shara itself. The Shara itself is a lead up to other things. So therefore, since it's Rov Yisrael, then we view it that it's a ear shel Yisrael, and Mimela, since it's not Betoris Atzmo, it's Betoris leading up, so Mimela, you follow the Rov. That's how the Or Sameach explains Rashi. So it's a very lumdisha vort, the chiluk between when the bias is mutually owned, or whether it's a din of Nishar, which is leading up to multiple places, predominantly Shal Yisrael. So you know, Rav Shechter likes to say over. So once the building, you know, put up this, once the building bought from the guy, so then I was very interested in having there be a mezuzah on the front door, and then I asked. I don't know. I think this is when Rabbi Reese was still here. You know, we were talking about it, and then you know, things get eisgeschleppt. And then Rabbi Goldberg, you know. But then once I was in the sukkah in the Lower East Side, and sukkahs, right, we spent, my in-laws live there, and in the Lower East Side you have communal sukkahs, so it's very, like someone said to me, it's like camp, you know, you have like all these, you know, you meet the whole community there. There's more than one communal sukkah, several communal sukkahs, but I hold this very geschmack. Some people have to like a private sukkah, I hold it's Shmack to be with the whole community together. So Rav David Feinstein was a member of the community, so he also was at, and his family was there, and it's a very nice, you know, thing. I always say that the Gemara says in Sukkah, Re'uyim Kol Yisrael, Hashem is B'Sukkah Achas. I never understood that Gemara until I went to the Lower East Side for Sukkahs. So Rav David, so we were talking about elevators somehow. That was the topic of conversation, whether a building, elevators need a mezuzah. So he said to me, but only if all the Jews, the building has to be 100% Jewish. So that's what he told me. Then the next meal, we were in the sukkah, obviously, again. And then they said, but what about Rashi and Yuma that says Rov Yisrael? So he says he doesn't think we paskin like that. Rashi, assuming because we paskin like Shutavakum paters, and he doesn't subscribe to the Or Sameach Svara to be mechalik between, you know, lead up and the thing itself, and just like Shutas Afakum paters. So if the Shara Ir is leading up to a Goyisha house, which any city, I can't imagine there's not one Goy in the city who lives there, so then it'll be Potter. So therefore he said, yeah, technically a mezuzah, an elevator would need a mezuzah, but it has to be Kol Yisrael. So really, if you assume like that, then there's nothing to talk about in the building, because as many Jews we have in 475, 186, you know, it's not Kol Yisrael, it's Rov Yisrael. We happen to have very fine people that are not Jewish in the building. In fact, we used to have a lady that lived right next to us, and when she would leave the house on Shabbos, she would knock on our door and say, you know, I'm leaving now, do you need anything before I leave? You know, that type of... And then she's not in the building anymore, but we have other people of that ilk as well. So we're very fortunate that to have such people.
If the building was owned by a non-Jew, but every resident was Jewish, would there be a chiyuv?
Right, so then obviously there would be a chiyuv obviously on every door, but the question is would there be a chiyuv on the see, I only thought about it once the Jews, it was bought by the Jews to put up the mezuzah. If it was owned by a goy, so then we don't have, you know, the jurisdiction over the front door. So Bekitzer, there's no mezuzah on our front door ever since that Purim night, after it was taken out after being there for like 2 days, and then it was. But that's a fundamental, machlokes, whether you accept the Or Sameach or you don't accept the Or Sameach. That's why in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, I think they point out that's not even Rov Yisrael, right? Right, Yerushalayim is...
the old city.
What?
The old city is the biggest quarter, the Muslim quarter.
Right, exactly. So the old city is the biggest quarter, the Muslim quarter. So therefore, even though over there, I think they do have mezuzahs, but you know how it is. Sometimes they call mezuzahs when, you don't really need mezuzahs or whatever, but there was a discussion of Harfenis wrote a truva once about Seagate. You heard of Seagate? Seagate. You guys aren't from Brooklyn. Seagate is a place in Brooklyn where it's a walled area in Brooklyn. And I don't know what the story is today, but it was Rov Yisrael, at least at a certain point. I think I went there once, I didn't notice the mezuzah there, but there is a question that they might require a mezuzah. Another question is, there's another halacha that if you think that it's going to get stolen, then Harford writes that it's true, he had an idea. First put up the mezuzah without the parchment and see if that gets stolen. And if it passes that test and it doesn't get stolen, then you can put that's what Rabbi thought. You know, I guess some people who are not from Manhattan have a certain perception about Manhattan. You know, if you're in Manhattan, you see it's not so bad in Manhattan. You know, it's nice. You know, it's not like everyone's stealing. But he has a perception that, this, it would be stolen. This, I'm not convinced it would have been stolen if the mezuzah would be put up.
If you think mezuzah is going to get stolen, you're punter from putting it up?
Yeah, if you think if there's a good chance it's going to get stolen, and therefore it's not going to be, will be disgraced, etc., then you put it from putting it up.
If there's a chiyuv to put a mezuzah, the cost has to be, everybody's chayv to be mishtatef on the cost.
Yeah, mishtatef, you mean if it's in the front door. So
there may be a need for more than a mezuzah. You have all the hallways and the doorways and the door down here, down there. More than one mezuzah might be required.
required.
Yeah, but I don't know. But our building, I don't think the, it would only be a question. Maybe, how can we have two doors to go in? And you go in, and then you walk two, three steps, and then there's another door. Okay, so believe me that the cost would not be the monea of, I said when Mr. Ruby Schroen put up the awning in front of our building, I said he wants us to think we're living in the West Side. And so, you have all the awnings, it looks more schmitz. But the mice, we don't have any doorman, we don't have any, so it's still Washington Heights. It's not the West Side, even with the awning. It's not the West Side. Okay. Parenthetically, the question of the mezuzah on the elevator. So it's a big machlokes. So where would you put it on, if you would put it on? So the pashya is you don't put it on the part that's moving. You would put it on, the part that doesn't move on every floor, going. The first one would be going into the first one, and then on every floor going out into the second floor, the third floor.
From the cab into the hallway. Open the hallway
to
the cab, which side,
right or left? In other words, the first one would be right going into the
cab.
Into the cab, yeah, and then the second floor going out of the
cab into the
hallway. Into the hallway, third into the hallway. Yeah, so I remember when I first got married, my wife and I, we took a trip to Eretz Yisrael. So one of the things we did, we wanted to see Rabbi Yashiv. So we're waiting to see Rabbi Yashiv, and not necessarily to speak to him, just to see Rabbi Yashiv. I had never seen him before. And so in his apartment, in his own private house, he had an elevator going from the first floor to the second floor. And But there are opinions, I think, with Shlomo Zalman, I'm of the opinion as well, that there's no chiyuv to put a mezuzah on an elevator. Because there's no permanent floor there. In other words, you're going into something that's moving up and down all the time. So you're going into a hole. Just happens to be, right now, the thing is on the first floor, so you can get this. Second floor, but basically there's a hole there. It's not a mezuzah of a bais of a like this room. So it's always here. It doesn't come and go. So I'm of the opinion, and I think that's kind of fair. I think it was Rosh Hashanah, if I'm not mistaken. Others that should have chiyuv to mezuzah. Rav Dov Feinstein assumed not like me. That's why he said it is a chiyuv, but you just need to have Kol Yisrael because of how he held not like the Or Sameach, but I'm of the opinion that like the Shita that it's not chayef in the Zuz. In some Hamisha places they have a real Hamisha chasin of all. There's always a mezuzah on the elevator. It could be, like we said last time, maybe a chasen hall doesn't even really need a mezuzah. Like a body hall is not makom dira. But you know how it is. You need to be hamish, so you have to put it, or else, people won't want to come to you, or, it won't be so good for business if you don't have a mezuzah.
Did Rabbi Yashiv have any
mezuzah? So Rabbi Yashiv had a mezuzah. Yeah. That's what I... Because we had to wait a long time until he finally came out. And so I noticed everything. So that was one of the things that I noticed, that there was a mezuzah there. And then he finally came out and onto the first floor, and they whisked him into this golf cart, and they drove him to shul. And so you could see it for a split second. And then we went down to Marv there, and then he gave his nightly shiur. Those farms that have in the base measures here, Ha'aris, you know what I'm talking about, the black books? Ha'aris. Yeah, Ha'aris. Ha'aris. Oros Masechta, this Masechta, that. You know, so that was his nightly shiur. You know, so I sat and my wife was outside, so I couldn't stay so long because I didn't want to keep her. But he was doing Perka Or Vaharotev and Kulin. It's interesting, it started off with like 4 or 5 people, you know, like 30, 40 years ago, whatever it was, and now, when I was there, it was towards the end of his life, the whole Beis Medrash was full, people. It's interesting, like, I know I give a weeknight shiur on the west side, so it's impressive that, like, this shiur is given every night. See, I don't know if in America, to have a shiur every night is not so simple. You're happy if you do it once a week and the people come, that's a big bracha. I would never even have a havamina that we're going to try to do it every night. I don't know if it would. So that itself was impressive to me. To be sure. Okay. So, Azai. So, we mentioned last week that I'm going to leave. The halacha is what? Mezuzah is what? Derech Knisa. So that's why it's over here. Why is it there another mezuzah over here? Because that's not called Knisa, that's why. Yitziah. And Yitziah is not a mechayev in mezuzah, it's only Derech Knisa. And what if you, so why did you put 2 mezuzahs? So Pashas is, that's, you know, like I told you, I said last, when I was in California, it's weird, like you're not sure. So you suffix, you put 2 up. Pashas is not baltosif, because Mamanafsha, 1 is no good. Right? In other words, and the halacha is you have to be koveya, what's the kenisa? And that's it, then you koveya, and that's it. Rav Moshe Feinstein even said a chiddush. A big chiddush, which only he would say, he has the shoulders to say, and that is that if it's not fully noticeable what's the kenisa, then this door is part of the mezuzah. Say for example, we know that we said derech kenisa. So what if we here, this is the only derech kenisa. There's no other derech kenisa. Even though Lubavitcher Rebbe said, see, if this were to be a Lubavitcher yeshiva, so then the mezuzah would be over here, going out. So they asked the Rebbe, well, how could that be considered a yitziah? Where was the knesa? So he said, yeah, the knesa is from the window. But Lemaisa, we don't accept that. We accept that this is the knesa. This is not, no one's coming in through the window, even though theoretically someone could, you know, but we're not working with, you know, theoretical. This is the Knesa. So Chabad, see, the Gemara says, you know, the Heker Tzir is what's Koveya. So the Heker Tzir used to mean that there was a hole in the ground, and in the ground they had a vertical stick, and then the door was on that vertical stick. So which room was the vertical stick in? It was either in this room or the other room. It wasn't at the in-between. So whatever, right, so wherever that is, that's called the Knesset. So today we don't have vertical sticks, so the Poskim of today say whichever way the door opens. If it opens in here, that's the Heket Tzir going in here. If it opens this way. So if you go into your local Lubavitch Beis Medrash yeshiva, you'll see they'll have the same type of situation, and the mezuzahs will be going out because Heker Tzir. And we say that no, Heker Tzir, where most poskim have to point out, Heker Tzir is only as a tiebreaker. If you don't know, if they would say there would be another room over here, and you would come through the other room, so you come through this room from 2 different ways, and then we have to know which is the Rov Hiloch, so then so the Heker Tzir would be the tiebreaker. It'd be the tiebreaker, but if not to say that it's clear that the Knesset is this way, so that the Heker Tzir should trump the clear Knesset, you know, that's a big a bit kiddish to say that. But that's the minhag, and that's what they do. There's a, when I was in Crown Heights for a couple of YU guys in the past year or two got married in Crown Heights. Crown Heights, I mean, they got married in 770, which is very fascinating. You know, 770 is a kihila. What's a nafkamina? I mean, it's like, if he wanted to, Talmud Maim wants to read him in Masada Kedushin on the steps of 770, it wouldn't fly. Because in a kihila, only the official rabbinate of the kihila is allowed to be Masada Kedushin. Like, if you have a wedding in Kiryas Yoel, a wedding, you know, they have the official rabban. It can't just be, you know, some you pick, like, you want to get married in Marina Del Rey, so pick whoever you want, and it'll be Masada Kedushin. But you get married in a real kehilas, and then you need, in Broyers, they even have official edim, you know, usually the way you pick your own edim, no, they have official edim, official edim. You see, in America, we're not, the kehila in America is, you know, we have shuls, you know, nice shuls, nice people, but it's not only, like my wife said, only in the modern Orthodox world, the only kehila is what? No? What? Elizabeth, Rav Teitz, he made a kehila. He made a kehila. It's like Rav Gutman said to me, kehila means they have their own yeshiva, their own mikvah, their own, you know, it's not just one place where you daven. It's a whole kehila, and the rav is the rav of all the five shuls in the in the kehila. That's a kehila. In the places today, there's separate shuls, and hopefully it all works out. But it's not the same as I mean, the shul could have its own kehila legabe, having the whatever things of decorum they decide to have in that building. But the concept of a kehila, as it's brought down in the poskim, is, as Rav Gutman pointed out, is a place where it's the whole shtat is under one. So you have in Crown Heights, you have in the Hasidic world, like Broyers, is they have their own mikvah, their own shechita, their own. It's a kehila. It's not just a shul.
The rule in like Crown Heights is that anywhere in Crown Heights or just in the building?
No, in the 770. I think if you get married someplace else, I don't think that.
Even if they have like a kehila that extends beyond the building with the shul.
Yeah, I don't know all the rules. I know for sure at 770 that you have to. Oh, so why was I saying this? So one of my talmidim, I have a talmid who's a sofer there in Crown Heights, and he was showing me that. See that we were at the chuppah outside in front of 770, and he said, "You see over there, that's the famous where the Friedrich Rebbe lived, and that's the whole place where they had the whole question about the Heket Seer, and all the tshuvas were written about this particular place where the Friedrich Rebbe lived. So, and that was the whole thing with the Heket Seer, and then we had to put it." There is an opinion that says that you follow, if you have two adjacent rooms, so I follow the Shita of Rav Meir Arik. You heard of Rav Meir Arik? Okay. Rav Meir Arik, part of my chinuch mission in my Talmidim is to broaden my Talmidim. In other words, they shouldn't only know about three Rabbanim that they come across. They should know that there's a whole world of Ga'onim, you know, from the previous generation, from previous generations. So Rav Meir Arik was one of the Gedolei Hador in Galicia. And he was a posek, he wrote the Sefer Imre Yosher, right? So you should be aware of that Sefer, Imre Yosher. So he paskin that Derech Chiluch is Koveya. Wherever most of the traffic, the flow of the traffic, whichever direction it is, that's... And others disagree and say it has to do with which room you use more often. Like, so if one room, two adjacent rooms, but the Derech Chiluch is one room, but the other room you use much more than the other room, then the right, going in the right would be the right going into the room used more, the Ikar Tashmish room, and not the, but I am of the opinion to follow the Derech Chiluch, because as Rav Gutman pointed out to me, that's the svar of Me'arif, because that's the Mechayev Mezuzah, is the Derech Hiluch. So whatever the Derech Hiluch is, so that's why I told you that the Rabbi Kiva Eger, that they some understand to mean that when you have a walk-in closet, you put it on the right side going from the walk-in closet into the bedroom, right? I don't follow that shita. Because that sheet is assuming, like Rabbi Mati pointed out, that the Iker Tashmish is the bedroom, it's not the closet. So therefore, you always go based on the Iker Tashmish, and that was, you know, but I follow the Maril and the way Rav Moshe Paskin against this Chazadish and so-called Rabbi Kiva Eger, always follow their Hiluch. And so the Derech Hiluch is not from the walk-in closet to the bedroom. He's going from the bedroom to the walk-in closet, you know, wherever the walk-in closet is. If it's in a married couple's bedroom, then you have to make sure it's doubly wrapped, because it's a question, you know, what do you do in a married couple's bedroom? Because you're not supposed to be mishamish in front of Svarim or in front of Kisvei HaKodesh. So normally it's not a problem. You just shut the door, and the mezuzah is on the other side. So you have a mechitza. So it's a different reshus. But sometimes you have a situation where there's a tzuras ha-pesach within the room, and that has another mechayev. So then, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, it doesn't matter. Mezuzah is an exception to the rule, because al korcha the Torah knows that this is the derech ishus. Right, and the Torah is mechayev and mezuzah, no. So then al korcha doesn't apply to a mezuzah. You know, this halacha of not being mishamish in front of. And others disagree. And others say either you have to have a double wrapping, or the fact that it's nikbat onto the wall is considered a different reshus. But that's. You know, but it's not an issue, but it could theoretically, and more than just theoretically, be an issue.
A lot of mezuzahs are first plastic wrapped and then put in the case. Is that considered double covering?
Yeah, maybe. The question is that you see, the halakha really is that if it's made, if the covering was made for the mezuzah, that shouldn't count as a second covering. That only counts as one covering. Even if you have 100 that are made for the mezuzah, that's not. It has to be at least one of them is not part of the mezuzah. It's not made for the mezuzah. You're putting there just to be a. But there's a Chachmas Adam, Gutman pointed out that if you're mechaving to make it a special hefsek, then. So I take two aluminum foils, two sheets of aluminum foil, and wrap it l'shem hefsek, and put it in. And according to the Chachmas Adam, if you do it l'shem, even though it's for the mezuzah, you see the real way to do it is, as they say, the stipler did, is that to have a nail on top of the mezuzah, and then to take a towel and hang it over the nail, and then that will be whatever covering is there, that counts as one, and then the towel is no shaychas with the mezuzah. You're just doing it that's the real halacha. That's the kuli alma. All these things that the achronim, you know, that the Alter Rebbe said that you put it on the door. Now it's considered a different reshus. That it's on top. Or what the Chachmas Adam says, you do it l'shem hefsek, or the Aruch HaShulchan's vort that by mezuzah, you know, that it's an exception to the rule because that's part of living. So there is a sheet of the Ramah that maybe it shouldn't be chayiv. There's a sheet that maybe it's potter from mezuzah, maybe even. We don't follow that sheet. A bedroom of a married couple. Yeah, you have the Shulchan Aruch here? You have a packet here? Maybe. Yeah.
people change?
No, it's only a bedroom because of the tashia. This page, yeah, it's Resh Pei Vav Beis. Resh Pei Vav Beis in the Ramah. Dafke aber khader mame so viel machen sie wie sie sehen und haben so so wie ich mit kile und oben in der kommen kommen schon noch im schock was hatte mit mir so 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 it means that a place where women are shock was meaning without clothing and they're going to be having relations so it's patem mit so so kommen kommen schon noch was patem mit so 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 it's interesting. So you know where this comes up? A lot of times I go to people's apartments in the Heights to show them where to put the mezuzahs. And in the Heights, you know, and when where you can make a bracha and where you can't make a bracha. And some people, the whole apartment, there's no one place you can make a bracha except for the bedroom. That is the only place that's big enough. That is dalet al dalet, it has a door. Right, because you can go through the whole apartment, and maybe there's not even one place that warrants a mezuzah. It's not like we're not in the place in the Five Towns or something like that. You know, they have many places that you can put up mezuzahs with a bracha. You kidding? So then I always say to myself, but what about that Ramah? You know, shouldn't we, you know, at least be choshish? Because if you really want to hold like that Ramah, at least like the bracha, maybe you should. You know, but I said, you know, okay, you know, the Minhag Olam is not like this Ramah. And even for the Bracha, I don't think the Minhag Olam, but the Ramah does exist. You know, that Shita does exist. So, so if there would be more than one place to put up the mezuzah with the Bracha, maybe I would tell them to make the Bracha on this other room, not on that. But I always think about it when I go to these apartments and there's no place. This is the only one, because usually, you know, at least the bedroom is going to be dalet. I hope that at least the bedroom is dalet al dalet. You know, we're not that poverty stricken here. So I say to myself, you know, but you know, even that is a question. But that much I let go. You know, and then I let them even make them bracha on that. Yes, sir.
What about a child's room where you're often changing diapers?
Yeah, so the child's room, you offer changing diapers, is also chayav in mezuzah.
But and then
because it's not miyuchad, it's not like a bathroom.
And it doesn't need a double cupping.
You mean the So the child's room, we don't talk about the child's room. So this is another halacha. The child's room. Some people want, you know, the child should be able to kiss the mezuzah. Oh, but before we get to that, I want to say one thing, and then I'll get to that. I said there's no Baal Tosif, right, if you put one here. But if you put two mezuzahs on one thing, that's Baal Tosif. So if I put one mezuzah here, one mezuzah here, it would be a Baal Tosif. So where does that come up? Who would want to do such a thing? So every once in a while, we have the good fortune of having Rabbi Rakefet from Eretz Yisrael come to here. And he's one of the most fascinating people to schmooze with. He's the best. And so he told me, he said, you know, look in Igros Moshe. There's a tshuva to me in Igros Moshe. You know, not like, you know, Mr. Shatten. You heard of Mr. Shatten? Mr. Shatten was the biggest fan of the Max, the YU basketball team. He would come to every game. Every game, he didn't miss a game. I think also the away games. That's a fan. You know, one thing you come here, and he would always eat in the cafeteria before. So in those days before I was married, I used to eat dinner in the cafeteria, and so he would be there. We would schmooze. Interesting fellows. So he said to me once, you know, I really wanted to get into the Igros Moshe. So I decided I'm going to ask for Moshe Shaila, and this way I'll get in. And he did. And it was a famous tshuva. It was a tshuva about, are you allowed to go in the subways during rush hour because maybe you'll bump into a lady in the subway. And that's a famous tshuva. A lot of big yisoidis to that tshuva. So that's written to him. That is written to him, Mr. Shatten. So I don't think Rabbi Rakef had a real shayla. It wasn't like he was just, maybe he also had a real, but. So he said like this, you know, Rabbi Rakef grew up in the Bronx. Now, I'm sure you've all seen this picture in your mind, that you have an old house in the Bronx, or whatever it is. And there's this little mezuzah, you know, the old people had these little mezuzahs. And it was probably painted over like 15 times with paint over the years. And who knows what's in there? You hope there's a mezuzah there. But who knows if it's a mezuzah, who knows if it's kosher, you know? So what are you going to tell me? So get it out. But it's a big thing to have to get out the, you know, mezuzah, especially if you just bought the house and you're here. You know, it might take you a long time to, you know, be able to crane it out somehow. So he said to Ramosh, you know what, well, can I just go buy, I'll buy another mezuzah, a nice mezuzah, kosher, and I'll put it, you know, this little mezuzah here, I'll put it right here, and Shalom on Yisrael. So Ramosh said, no, you can't do that, because maybe that mezuzah is good, and it's Baal Tosif. So that was the tshuva that, his name used to be Rothkopf. Rakefid was, people change their name when they go to Eretz Yisrael, make it more Hebraicized name. So if you want to look up the tshuva, it's Rothkorach, was his name then. Yeah. So then Rav Moshe said not to do it, because it's a Shiloh Baal Tosif. Yeah, but this was the front door of the house, so this is definitely. If the person made a mistake and put it on the wrong side.
It's not the front door. It's a different door.
Yeah, so if it's clearly a mistake. But Lemaise, I told you, we're not knowing to put up two mezuzahs in, so you shouldn't. But then it wouldn't be a shiloh, except for the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik held that it's also a shiloh of Baal Tosif, even to put it on the other side. But we usually assume not like that. And it wouldn't be a Baal Tosif. You just, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says, if you put up a mezuzah, it's not chayiv. So, it's not Baal Tosif, You know, they have that here in the Gluck base medrash going in. So it's, they put up a mezuzah, say the one near the bathroom. If you go into the base medrash by the doorway, by the bathroom, so then there's no mashkof there. There's no mezuzah there. It's just a wall. It's just a wall. It's like if I put a mezuzah here in the middle of a wall. It's just the middle of a wall. It happens to be that that's where they made the doors. But there's no... nothing protruding out, so there's no chiyuv mezuzah. So whatever there was, whatever that's what they have there. But but the pasha's not chayiv at all. Oh, so we're talking about little kids. So some want to say, oh, maybe my little son, he's only this high, so maybe I'll put the mezuzah, down here. So he should be able to, kiss the mezuzah when he comes in. So that poskim writer, Ephraim Greenblatt, has a whole truth about that. That the chora, that's you don't gain anything. And if fakert, you mevatel the mitzvah. Because there's no shita that holds that you can put a mezuzah so low down. We hold the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and you put the mezuzah at the bottom of the top third, and you can, if you put it lower than that, you're not yotzei afilu b'diavad. And if you put it too high within the top tefach from the top, then you're also not yotzei. So in other words, even if you didn't put it mamish in the bottom, you put it a little higher, okay, nishkaferlach. Because a lot of people put it a little higher than it's really supposed to be, l'chatchila. But It should be the whole thing should be in the top third. You shouldn't have any part of the mezuzah lower than the top third. And if you do that, then you're not yotze. And if you put it too high, you're also not yotze.
Would you do two mezuzahs, one below the top third? Would that be baltosif if it's not a yotze place for the kid to sit there?
Yeah, but then you get into the shaila of you know, like the Ritzvah says, you shouldn't buy your son a pasul esrog for chinuch purposes, because in other words, you don't have to get him necessarily the most mehudadik, esrog, but it should be kosher. I remember last year, not this year, like a year ago, it was the past two sukkahs were the same that Erev Sukkot was on a Sunday the past 2 years. And then the first night of Sukkot was Sunday night. I remember it was Motzai Shabbos, so I got my son, one of my younger sons, I got him I bought him an esrog. And then Motzai Shabbos, obviously, took it out of the thing, and it fell, the piton broke off. So I was telling him, you know, it's not so pashut, piton falling off, is a problem, but he didn't buy that, you know, like he tried to explain to an 8-year-old. And maybe that when the piton falls off, it's still good. So, and at that point, Breuer's was always closing. So I went to the West Side, Chabad of the West Side. They were very good. They were open. They had plenty of esrogim. I got an esrog. It was good. It has to be a kosher esrog. So I held that maybe according to some, whatever. But that's the story. Oh, so if you put a load down, you can't put a load down. Oh, so this is the big shiloh. What if you have a big doorway, a tall doorway? So where do you put it? So there is a Yerushalmi in Megillah that says if it's a tall doorway, then you put it shoulder height. So this is not shoulder height. So you put it, this is just about shoulder height. So, but if you're very, very tall, so then the top third would be very high up. So then you put it shoulder height. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Yerushalmi is quoted in the Shach in Hilchas Mezuzah. But it is not quoted in the Maran. Maran HaMechaber doesn't bring this Yerushalmi. So then Maran HaRav Avadi Yosef Paskin that we shouldn't Paskin like this Yerushalmi. This is a big Shaila because you see, when you're going to do a shoulder height and a very big door, it's going to be below the top third. So then it could be an ayotze, but it won't be yotze, right? But if the halacha is that you're supposed to put it in the top third, that's where you're supposed to put it. So the top third might be the mokum lechatchilo, or might be pasul even b'di'evit. So you really have to be confident. So Rav Avadi Yosef says, I'm not confident. If the Maran doesn't bring it down, how could I be totally confident that that's the halacha? Right? So therefore, he did not paskin like this shita. But Minhag HaOlam is not like Rav Avadi Yosef. Minhag HaOlam is we follow the Shach. And we put it on the bottom of the shoulder height. Even though shoulder height is going to be what? Below the top third, yeah.
Why not put it in the bottom of the top third if it's a tall doorway? Get a ladder, no? You can't, it's...
Oh, so we'll explain.
The problem.
Okay, give me time and I'll explain. But so the Minhag HaOlam is not like Rav Avadi Yosef, even though Rav Avadi Yosef was very into, you know, because bottom line is, it's not even a Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. So maybe not. Oh. So Rav Abadi once told me, and then I saw subsequently quoted from the Chazon Ish a similar idea. See, I always used to think, so there are two tracks. There's the tall door track and the regular door track. And each door has a separate halacha where you're supposed to put the mezuzah. So Rav Abadi didn't like that. He didn't think that's the pshat. He thinks there's one track. And that is, the mezuzah is supposed to be that it's readily noticeable while you're walking in or out the door. So the shear really is what? Shoulder height. Because if something is shoulder height, so then when you're going to walk through, you're going to see it. So remember shoulder height. It's not pshat that they're too. You see, you asked me what's the problem if it's going to be too high up. The idea is that a mezuzah is supposed to be noticeable. That's part of the way the Torah wanted the mitzvah mezuzah to be noticeable when you're walking in the room. So if you're going to be so high up, you're not going to notice it. So therefore, so Ravani said to me that no, the idea of the bottom of the top third, that's a hashara of shoulder height. So it's not that there's two separate. So the Yerushalmi just has to articulate it, because you might think you should take it literally that it's always the bottom of the top third, even when it's going to be out of your vision, it's not going to be. So comes Yerushalmi and tells me, no, you should put it in your shoulder height, because that's the taich in what? In the Shlish Elyon. It's the same halacha. Where else do we see this halacha? We see this halacha also. Yeah, right. But no, in Hilchas Mezuzah, we see it also. I never saw it in America so much, but in Yerushalayim you've seen it in the Jerusalem stone. So sometimes the mezuzah is in the stone, right? In the stone. You don't see that so much in America. You know, probably put it in. So what's the halacha? You can put it within a tefach of the outside. You can within the tefach deep. You can put the mezuzah. But the halacha is that you have to be able to see that's there. What if you plaster it over and now it's not noticeable? Then you're not yotze. So part of the din of mezuzah is what? Is that it should be noticeable. You see from that halacha, and therefore this halacha as well. And the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu says that the Chazanish wasn't so machpid, shlish elyon, you know, basically shoulder height for everything. Was he, to me, the way I understood, he was saying the same word as Rav Avadi, that it's a din in being noticeable while you're walking, you know, in the room. And therefore, if it's a normal door, so you put a shlish elyon in. So Lemaisa, I'm not such a purist. A purist would say, okay, just follow shoulder height and never measure it out. So I'm still choshesh that maybe, you know, it's two separate dinim. So lemaisa, when it's a regular door, we'll try. Like, I won't just do this. I'll try to, you know, be measuring out to make sure that it's not lamata mishlish elyon. But in emes, it's that was the Ravai said, and that's in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu from the Chazanish.
I'll pass it over.
Mezuzah
is not yotze. Then why did Rav Moshe tell the Kefet that when it's painted over 15 times, you no longer know it's there?
No, because there you know it's there. Well, with any mezuzah, you could say you don't know. Let's say you have a case that's not glass. Here, I can see that's a parchment there, right? But most of the mezuzahs, they don't have glass. They have it. So that's not called Einu Nikah. There you see the case. So you have a right to assume.
You see the case. It's not just. It's not so much paint that it's like a look over the wall.
No, you see that there's a mezuzah there. You see there's a mezuzah there, but even those that have the mezuzah there, it's still painted over, but you still see that there's a mezuzah case there. And then that was the... Okay, now, another thing that happens in this neighborhood a lot is people move out. What can I tell you? Washington Heights is not the place where most people make it their lifetime abode. Whatever reason. This happens all the time. People coming in, people coming out. And so, you know, there's a halacha that you're not supposed to take a mezuzah with you when you leave. Because you considered being mazik, the new person. Because I told you, mezuzah is a shmira. Mezuzah is a shmira. So if you take mezuzah off, then you're being, you know, all the demons, whatever, all these things are coming, so So what's the story? So you mean you have to just give away a free present to the new person coming in? You get, you know. So the Rambam says, and that's how Rav Vadi Paskins, that no, it's not a freebie. You have a right to you have to offer to sell it to him. You're buying the house from him, and then he says, I don't want you mezuzahs too. So then you'll say, okay, so pay me a little bit extra, you know, whatever it costs, the mezuzahs, and he has the right to sell. But if he doesn't want it, so as Rav Vadi pointed out, then he can be mochel that, and then you can take it. Some people have their own mezuzahs, they don't want to, take mezuzahs. Some people don't want to bother with going and getting mezuzahs. The mezuzahs are here. So he has a right to tell the person coming in to leave it there, I want to buy it from you. And say that this have sentimental value, so then he can just get other mezuzahs, put them up, you know, the person who's leaving, and take the ones that have sentimental value to him and take it with him. But he can't leave it without mezuzahs, unless the fellow said, I'm a mochel, and I'm not interested in your mezuzahs, and I'm going to put up my own mezuzahs, etc.
Can you explain what if there's a mitzvah that you have to pay the middleman in the sale who's not a Jew? A lot of times when you leave an apartment, you're not...
So you don't know. Well, if you don't know who the other person's going to be, like we said before, if you're afraid, right, but if you, the person who's moving in, you don't know who he is, he might be a guy, etc., you're not sure, so then you just take it.
If the tenant left, and he left the mezuzah there, can't get in touch with him, does it become hacker? Can anybody take it? Can't reach him.
So you have to... If you can't, you can't. But normally you can usually reach the people in this day and age. Usually in this day and age you can reach people. Cell phones. Internet. Yeah.
If you bought like expensive mezuzahs because you wanted to know where the sofer was or whatever, can you buy like cheaper...
Right, you can get... Yeah, right. You don't have to give this guy your... Spitz mezuzahs. In other words, if you wanted...
Even though the less expensive, less mahodah or whatever, might be less of a shmira.
Right, but as long as it's kosher. As long as the mezuzah is kosher, then you can consider yourself giving the fellow proper shmira. But if not, then you... then it's a problem.
How do you know mezuzahs is kosher?
I mean, hopefully you buy it. You have to. First thing is you have to buy it in a reliable place, and hopefully, if you did that, then you can assume it's kosher. But if you got it from some shady situation,
most Judaica stores are clerks or whatever.
Yeah, the prominent ones. I can't say about. You know, it's hard for me to speak about every Judaica store and the. But even the Judaica stores usually have a hechsher on them from, you know. But a person, you know, when they go shopping for stam, they should have someone guide them to where to go. Because, you know, not all stam is, you know, is the way it should be. I mean, that's why the Vad Mishmer Stam, they started this whole campaign. I remember Rabbi David Greenfield? He started the Vad Mishmer Stam. And he started when I was a bar mitzvah boy. So I knew him as a young fellow, you know. And then, when I was looking for a place to buy tefillin for my son, now he's a man with a long white beard, and I didn't recognize. He was the young fellow who I spoke to, you know, decades ago. So you have to. That's a very important thing. When you get stam, you should know where you're going, who you're getting from, where, you know, because you know, just the different things. You know. Oh. You know, there's like anything like you want to get a different level. It's amazing to me how stam went up in price. You know, from Like when I was, it's probably 10 times as much my son's tefillin than my tefillin. You know, like from 250 to 2,000 something. That's the, and I went to Rav Moshe Bixatzal, who was one of the big poiskim in Brooklyn, and he was one of the biggest bikiyim in Safras amongst other areas in halacha, and he picked out for me what he considered the most mahuder at that time, and that was like $250 or something like that, and today, you know, things change. That's one of the things that changed. The price of stam changed. Okay, but you should make sure you know what you're doing. You should speak to somebody when you're buying your mezuzahs, you're buying tefillin, you're buying there's a shaman, you get buy tefillin for your own sons and whatever. That's important. I told you there was a shaman from Shlomo Zalman that maybe b'zman hazeh we don't have the real chiyuv because we have heat control, so you don't have to worry that the mezuzah got too cold or too hot because we have heat control, except for the outdoor mezuzahs. But the original hanacha means that you have to at least have had a proper mezuzah, you know, from the get-go. If you didn't get it from a proper place, even though you have heat control, but you never got it right in the first place. Okay, do you have the packet here? Just thank you. Sorry. Okay, so that is the story about removing the mezuzahs. We said that another halacha we didn't discuss fully is about renting. So when you're renting, so Pasha says the chiyuv is only the rabbanon. Because it says Besecha. It has to be you own it. So therefore, if it's only Drabanan, so then you're only Chayiv on the 31st day of living there. Before the first, and the way Rav Shecht explained the Tosfos is the idea being that that until 31st day, people see you living there, they don't know that it's, you know, after by day 31 they think it's yours, so it's a question of like marasayin, that you're living here 31 days, so stomach, this is yours and you didn't put it up, so chutz la'aretz you have till day 31. Some say, like Rav Shach points out for Rav Shach, that if you have a lease, so maybe even if it's rental, you have to put it up right away. But the minhag olam that you can be mekel. You can be mekel till day 31. That's only chutz la'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, mishum yishuv ha'aretz, the Gemara says, you have to put it up right away, even by rental. What does the yishuv ha'aretz mean? Because once you live here, and you put up your mezuzahs right away, so then you might not want to move so easily, because you don't want to lose your mezuzah, because you're really supposed to, you know. So, but in chutz la'aretz, you don't have yishuv ha'aretz. Chutz la'aretz, so mela, you have that heter of day 31. And then the question is, so when should you put up when should you make the bracha? So some people wait till day 31, and they put it up, and because technically you're not chayv till day 31. Others, so I'm not into that because I just feel, you know, who knows where you're going to be on day 31? You know what I mean? You're going to be, all of a sudden you went away for Shabbos from day 29 till 32, and you're out of town, and then all of a sudden you say, oh, today's day 31. You know, so I like to do it right away. The Derech Chaim says if you know right away you're living for more than 30 days there, you can put it up right away. And Moshe says, so therefore you can put it up, but you don't make a bracha until day 31. You put your hand there, you make a bracha. I'm not into that either, because I told you Rav Salvechi was of the opinion that you need a maaser to make a bracha, a maaser mitzvah. So there's no maaser mitzvah if you put it up first. So that's why I follow the sheet of Chaim Kanievsky, that you can put it up right away. You put it right away and make the bracha soon, at least when you're moving in. You know, because to wait till then, it could be problem. And then you don't have to use nails to put it up. You can, the mezuzah we have is you just take off the thing and you stick it in the thing. So if it's like Shachta put down, if it's going to be there, stick for the duration of the time that you're planning to be there, then that's, you know, in other words, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you should put it with nails, the Aruch HaShulchan says, lav dafka. You could put it with other things, other adhesives that are. So there's another thing that I like to speak about, and that's Washington Heights kitchens. That's another thing that I'm into. So, if you've seen kitchens in Washington Heights, so a lot of times they have this, like this. You walk in, to your right and to your left is a thing protruding. It's like 40 inches protruding. And then, what do you say?
Cabinets,
something like that, or just a protrusion. Right? What?
It's like a doorway, except only half up.
You're right, a doorway. A doorway that only goes up 40 inches, and then the rest is an arch. So where do you put the mezuzahs? Because it protrudes out for 40 inches. So a lot of people put it on the bottom, on the little thing. So they have this, like, it's protruding out, and then you have, like, mezuzah right here. So it always never sat well with me, this idea. But because you can't walk by the other area, which is something protruding. So you can't walk over here. I can't walk through here. So I follow the sheet that if you put it here, you're not yotze, because it's lower than the top third. So I'm of the opinion you put it over there, by the, you know, in other words, you have a thing, now you can have an archway going over here, so put it over here. Those that don't like, because you don't walk here, so that maybe that's not called the Pesach. But I follow the Shita that is the Pesach. It's meaning, this is the mezuzah, and then the Pesach is over here. But to put it here, I wrote a whole article in the Beis Yitzchak, if you want to see. I feel this is lower than the top third. So some say, no, this is the whole thing. So this is the... This is the whole thing. This is the whole mezuzah. So, and it's l'shitas. What I told you over Avadi. The whole point is you should be able to notice it while you're walking through. So you put it over here. You know, it's not. It's like, you know, the shaila of not being able to notice it. So even though there are people, and the Nesivus writes that you put it in the bottom, but the Sefer Mikdash Maat, or maybe in the Das Kedoshim, he says that's only if the bottom thing is still going to be within the top third. So I'm of the opinion not to put it on the low down point. And then there's also, so that comes up a lot if you live in this neighborhood. Those mezuzahs that are, you know, those doorways. You know what I'm talking about. But no. You have a thing? You have a marker? Is that marker right on the thing? Is there a highlighter or that? Well, no, that's not a good thing to do. Okay. Yeah, he's going to get one. then you'll see what I mean. Anyway, these kitchens, anyway, are usually not dalit al dalit anyway, so, you know, it's...
Do cabinets count for dalit al dalit?
If you can move it, then it's like it's not there. And if you can't move it, then it retracts. Oh, thank you. Okay, this is what I mean. I'm walking this way, through the wall, okay? Now, obviously, I can't walk here. I can't walk here. This is fill in, okay? So where do you put the mezuzah? So there are four possibilities where you can put the mezuzah. So, in other words, if it's dalal down clearly, you can definitely put it on this side. If it's not, then you have the whole machlokes, which way, with the Rabbi Akiva and the... So a lot of people put it here. Why do they put it here? Because this is the Pesach. I can't walk here, so this is the Pesach, right? But Lamaisa, this is not the Shlish Elyon. So some say, but it is the Shlish Elyon, because this is the whole thing, the Shlish Elyon. So, but my, you know, Hadracha, as I told you before, Vadi mentioned that the whole idea of the Shlish Elyon is that it's noticeable. So therefore, I hold you put it here. Because this is the Shlish Elyon in terms of being able to know. It's you can't walk over here, and it's like Rav Gutman said, always in a like too much, like just like when there's a din where you put it in the Jerusalem stone, if you put it more than a tefach deep, so good. Yeah, but that's when it's in the stone. Here it's not in the stone. So I'm of the opinion that you put it over here. Now, is it more clear than it was before?
Yeah.
And then I'm not, you know, the Rabbi Kivega people going that way, I'm not even mesiaches to that. But within the non-Rabbi Kivega, that's... And then there's another shayla that comes up. You have beams in the room. You have beams. So you can't make it through here. You have to walk through here. So the same type of shot, should you put the mezuzah here, or should you put the mezuzah here? It's the same idea. I can't walk through here, so the Pesach is too far away. You walk through here. Rav Bari told me to put it here, but I hold differently. I hold that this is not a mezuzah, this is just a chazuki tikra. Or either lanoi or chazuki tikra, and then you shouldn't put it on the beam, you should put it here, consistent with what I...
What is that? What is the pillar?
A pillar.
Why is it not a Pesach?
Because, and assuming there's a drop, you know, if a mashkof is enough, so you say you have the drop, etc. There's a drop, and it doesn't go all the way to the top, see. But... Because the point of it is, it's not made to be a different room. It's just to hold up the building, you know. So
it's only to hold up
the roof. So that's not called the mezuzah. Right. And then a lot of times you have a question like this: self kosel. You have a room like this. You go in. There's nothing jutting out. So do you say that you put it here? Or do you need something, you know, jutting out to be a mezuzah? Right? In other words, the Ritva was of the opinion you need a molding. You need a molding. Here's a molding, a separate piece. So we assume that you don't need a molding. That all, as long as there's a protrusion like this, it's good enough. Rav Soloveitchik, interestingly enough, if there was no molding, he didn't put up a mezuzah. You know, like you have a living room, you know, so it has an archway, but there's no molding there. So minigal olam is to put up a mezuzah without a bracha, because the Rambam sheet is you need a door. But Rav Soloveitchik was very into you need a mezuzah. And a mezuzah means a separate piece. Not like here. A separate piece is a molding. But if it's just but minigal olam is not, but that's how he did. He actually followed that way. So some hole that you can put on the soft closer, on lighting holes has to be jutting out. That's how I follow that sheet as well. And you need something jutting. A lot of times in houses, you'll have like, and then it'll take a turn. Like you'll go into a hallway, and there's nothing coming out. You're going in here this way. It's just the end. There's nothing coming out. There's nothing jutting. So as a question, when I follow the sheet that no mezuzah. Because you need a mezuzah. Mezuzah means the vertical. So either you have a molding, or at least you have, like most people have in their living room, they have like, you know, they have like an archway. And that there's, you know, something coming out here, and then you go through. But if there was something coming out, but now the wall goes this way, so now you have nothing here, it's coming out, but now this intercepts it. So there's nothing jutting out, and so I follow the sheet that there's no mezuzah in such a case.
Does it matter if one side has it?
If the right side has it. So Shach says, even if you have one mezuzah, you could put up without a bracha. But if the left side has it, then you don't even have...
So you hold that one side...
Who got the pen?
So you hold that there has to be some type of, that the right side at least has to have a molding?
Not necessarily molding. It has to at least have something coming out.
What do you mean coming out?
Like over here. Here's something coming out. So say this part would have had a...
fill.
You know, this part and a wall here. So there's all... but this part doesn't. So here's something coming out. And one on this side, you're going in this way. So there's nothing coming out. It's just the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the...
Like the Glock-based
measures. Right, so the Glock-based measures just has a wall.
So,
yeah, especially on the side near the bathroom. The other side, I'm sure, might be a sheet of... Not like that, but it's certainly... I'm usually on the other side of the... close to the bathroom. So that's the only shayla over there is a shaykh to say that there's a Surah of Pesach when there's no mezuzah, just a door. So Pashtus is, I mean, Hilchas Erevin, it's a whole discussion. If you put up a blossus without Surah of Pesach, but that's a whole different discussion. Okay, I thank you once again, Rabbi Orlian, and everybody.
Can
you
sign a sign-in
sheet? When you get married and you have your apartment, you want me to make a house visit, I'll be happy to show you you know, how this comes into real life.